Today's daf in Masechet Midot, or Me'ilah as it's called in the daf Yomi, is daf Lamed Zayin, which is the equivalent of Perek Revi'i Mishnah Gimel, brought to you from the Drakensberg Mountains in South Africa. Ushloshim Ushmona Tsa'im Hayusham. There were 38 separate little chambers that were around the walls of the Heichal and around the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the outside, and of course couldn't see them from the outside, but from the outside of the wall, which is the actual inside wall of the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Chamisha Asar Betzafon, Chamisha Asar Bedarom, Ushmona Bemaarav. 15 on each of the long sides, so in other words, 15 along the north and the south sides, and then across the back of the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there were 8, which was, of course, to the west. Shebet Safon v'Shebet Arom, all of the chambers that were along the long walls of the north and of the south, they were built chamisha agabe chamisha v'chamisha agabehem. They were built in 3 stories. Remember that the Heichal was enormously high. So they were built in 3 stories, and these were running one on top of the other. And Shebemaharav, the smaller side, were also built in 3 stories, but instead of 5 running to the east and west, and then another 5, and then another 5 along the long walls, these were 3 on top of 3, and on top of those were Shnayim Agabehim. So these were running, of course, north-south, not east-west, and the upper story had 2 Ta'im that were above the 3 on the middle floor of the Ta'im. And Shlosha Ptachim, Hayu Lekol Echad V'Echad, each one of these chambers had 3 entranceways. One was to the chamber on its right, one was to the chamber on its left, Echad L'Tamen Hayamin, Echad L'Tamen HaSmol, V'Echad L'Tasha Al Gabav. And there was also an opening way to the chamber that was above it. Now, obviously, this can't mean all of the Ta'im, because the ones on the upper story clearly did not have the ones going upwards. When you got to the corner as well, you also had a difference, because Bekeren Mizrachit Tzvonit Ayu Chamisha Ptachim. So the chamber that was at, on the northern side, at the eastern edge, there were 5 Ptachim, which was Echad L'ta Min Hayamin, Echad L'ta She'al Gabav, Ve'echad L'Mesibah. So first of all, you had the regular Tzad Yamin. Of course, there was no small, because this is already on the Mizrach. The Mizrach is the end of the Ta'im, because the Heichal runs Mizrach to Ma'arav. So when you got to the very, very end, in other words, the very beginning, you had the Ptachim that could be available, which were the standard 2, Yamin and Lamala. There was Echad L'Mesiba, and there was also one into the stairwell that went between all of these along the inside, between the Ta'im and the wall, Echad L'Pishpesh, and one of them was to the actual Pishpesh, which was the small that was on the northern side of the Shar to the Heichal itself, and one of the walls went actually into the Heichal, as we saw earlier. Now, what were the measurements of each of these Ta'im? Well, the lower story, Hatachtona, were 5, which means that there were 5 Amot. Each one of the Ta'im was 5 Amot. Then there was a Rovat of 6 Amot. Actually, before we continue, let's get our direction straight and the overall picture of the way that the construction was here. Let's get that straight. Basically, there was a desire to avoid the insertion of any supportive beams into the actual wall of the Heichal itself. And therefore, when they built the wall of the Heichal, they built it in steps so that the ceiling beams would be able to be supported by the edge of the wall that was coming up on the lower story. That way, each story of the chambers ended up being slightly wider, actually one full amma, it's not that slight, than the story below it. And therefore, the area between the top of a ta and the bottom of the other ta would always be wider, because that was the area that contained the beams, and was always one amma wider, and that provided for the next level of ta, which was also an amma wider. And when we're talking about wider, we're talking about the thickness of the ta between the outer wall and the wall of the heichal. So the step-like construction of the heichal meant that the rovad would be one amma wider. And so the rovad served basically as the floor of the next story up. And therefore the emtza'it, which was the next level up, that is the middle level, that middle level was shesh amot. Above that was another rovad, which contained the beams that were on, sitting on, instead of being embedded in, sitting on the step of the heichal wall, one amma. So that was sheva amot. That again gave us a wider floor, or deeper, if you wish to call it, between the two walls, for the upper story. The Elyona, therefore, all of the ta'im on the upper story were seven amot, because that, of course, was the area that was above the floor that was supported above the one beneath it. And the reason that we see this is because in the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo built, the Pasuk says, Shenemar ha-yitziyah ha-tachtona chamesh ba-marochba, va-tichona shesh ba-marochba, va-shlishit sheva ba-marochba. So that was the Yitziyah, which we're calling the actual level, what we call sort of like a porch. And that was based on the Pasuk that said, it continues, we don't have the whole thing here, but it says, Kim migro'ot natan labayit saviv chotza, from outside of the wall of the Heichal, you could see migro'ot. So migro'ot meant that you took a little bit off as you went up. Levilti echoz bikirot habayit, says the Pasuk, in order that there not be a need to make a hole in the wall of the Heichal in order to insert the beams of the next one down. This way, by making porch-like affairs that supported the beams, you could simply lie the top of the beam on the area of the story below it. Now, we briefly mentioned before the idea of the misiba, by providing us with an extra door so that we could begin the misiba. Now, there's different ways of understanding the misiba, which is a machloket, whether the misiba is simply a stairwell that ran the entire length from one story to the next up, like zigzagging, or whether the misiba was actually a spiral stairway that you would access and go through the middle of the wall. But whatever the idea is, that the misiba took you mikeren mizrachit tzvonit lekeren tzvonit ma'aravit sheba yolim legagot hata'im. So this misiba started all the way at the eastern side, which of course was the farmost side next to the entranceway of the Heichal, and it went from the corner of the side of the Mizrach Tzafon to the side of Lekeren Tzvonit Ma'aravit, went all the way back on the northern side, all the way back to the west, which was the back of the Heichal. And this way, you could use the stairwell, Shebahayu Olim Legagot HaTa'im. You could get all the way up to the rooftops of the ta'im, and the kohen would be ole b'misiba. Initially, panav l'ma'arav, he would go along the entire northern side, the entire atramagil l'ma'arav, from the east until he got all the way to the west. Higia l'ma'arav, when he would get to the western side, walking along the rooftops of the ta'im, he could then be hafech panav l'darom. He could walk along that backside, facing the south, and go along the entire back wall. So halach al pnei kopnei hamarav, again on top, between the ta'im, atru magia l'darom, till he would get to the side of the south, opposite from where he started. When he got to the darom, he would then turn to the side of the pesach of the heichal, the far side, all the way to the mizrach, and would walk along the darom, atru magia lipit petach shel ha'aliyah. And this way, he got to the room that was the second story above the Heichal in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because they made Pitcha Shel Aliyah, the doorway to the Aliyah, was Patuach L'Darom, it faced the southern side. Now when you would walk in, you found the Petach of the Aliyah, there were Shnei Klunasot Shel Erez, Shebehem Ayu Olim L'Gaga Shel HaAliyah. There's a machlokes here between the Mefarshim of the Mishnah, the Rishonim, as to whether this means that the two klunasot were actually the two sides of what was effectively a ladder, and you would be able to go up to the top of the aliyah, or whether the klunasot were actually two separate poles that had indented pieces in them that you could put your feet at the edge. Roshe pispasim, mavdilim ba'aliyah bin ha-kodesh levin ha-kodesh ha-kodeshim. Now the aliyah did not have a mechitza between the area that was above the part of the hecha that was the kodesh and the area that was above the part of the hecha that was the kodesh ha-kodeshim. However, there were again the Roshe pispasim, that was a machlokas that we've seen many times here, whether that means that there were boards that were sticking out or pegs that were sticking out of the wall, or whether that's actually a reference to the floor, or maybe even a psifas, instead of hispasin, that it was a mosaic that was on the floor, that showed you the difference when you were upstairs between the area that was directly above the Kodesh HaKadashim and the area that was above the Kodesh. V'lulin ayu p'tuchin ba'aliyah lebeit Kodesh HaKadashim shebehem ayu mishashalim et ha'omanim b'tevot. Now there were also elevator shafts, essentially. I mean, they weren't shafts, but there were openings in which there was a elevator that was above the opening. And when you needed to go down in order to work on the walls of the Hechal and the Kodesh HaKadashim, obviously it wasn't their heretz to walk in, even the tzarech repairs into the actual bedroom, so to speak, the base Kodesh HaKadashim itself, or for a repairman to stop walk into the Hechal. So what they did is they made elevators in the area of the Kodesh HaKadashim, so that there would be no going in, and you would sit inside this elevator. You would be lowered so that the doorway of the elevator was essentially the wall. You couldn't get out of the elevator. So when they lowered you into the Kodesh HaKadashim, you could walk along the wall as it worked, along the wall as they lowered you down. Then you would go back up. Your elevator would go back up. You'd take the next elevator to the side of it, go down and work on that wall. And that way, you could continuously maintain the Kodesh HaKadashim without ever actually seeing the Kodesh HaKadashim or anything that's in it. You could just see the wall that's directly in front of your nose. Shebehena yu mishashalin et ha'omanim b'tevot. They would put them in these closed boxes, what we're calling the elevators. Kidei shelo yizonu inehem mibit Kodesh HaKadashim. We don't want stam, a workman, to be able to be inside of the Kodesh HaKadashim. Now, the area of the Hechal. So that was the front part, Heichal, as opposed to the we spoke about the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We would be mechalik between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But in the overall sense of the word Heichal, what we mean is the house itself, as opposed to the area of the Azara. So the building area itself, and that would include the entire, starting at the Ulam, going all the way back to the back of the Ta'im and the back wall, which we call the Parbar, of the Kodesh HaKadashim, was all in all Me'ah al Me'ah. Al Ru Me'ah. It was 100 long by 100 wide. Of course, we're talking about at its widest point, by 100 Amot high. Now let's take a look at how we get to 100 Amot high. First of all, we had a foundation area, which was called the Otem. So it's like a yesod to the Hechal. So the Otem was Shesh Amot, starting at the ground level. And that raised the entire building. And then you had on top of it, Kabehu, the Arba Imama, that was the actual inside of the Hechal. So there were 40 Amot, that gets us to 46. Then we had an Ama Kiur. Kiur means various pictures and engravings that are made along the top of the wall. And that was another Amma. Then you had an Amma Taim that was called the Beit Dilfa. So that was the area of the upper korot, of the roof beams, that held them together. And the Lashon of Dilfa, according to this approach, would mean a Lashon of Lifuf, rather than an area that any kind of water that would be coming down from the roof would be able to flow through. So it's Lafaf. And then there was an Amma that was the Tikra, which was the actual area that covered over the korot, an ama ma'aziva, and that ma'aziva was thicker cement, and that was the entire tikra of the hecha was 5 amot, which included the ama kior, 2 amot of the Beit Dilfa, the ama of the tikra, and then the ama of the ma'aziva. According to the Rambam, was actually a double ceiling. According to the Rambam, the word Beit Dilfa doesn't come from lafaf, but a lotion of delef. So that means that if there was any condensation or any leakage that was coming from the roof, it would be piped through this area between the double ceiling and brought out. So that gets us all the way to 51. Then we have the Gavav, the Aliyah. Now, the Aliyah was a copy of the actual bottom story, so it too was Arba Imama, Ama Kiyor, Ama Tayim Beit Ilfa, Ama Tikra, Vama Meziva, exactly like the building underneath, which means that the Gova of the Aliyah with its Tikra was another 45 Amot, which brings us to 96. Then there were Shalosh Amot Ma'aka, which we're including. The Ma'akeh we're including as the actual measurements of the Heichal. And then there was around the roof, obviously, from above. Ama Kala Orev. And then there were this machlokas, exactly how the Kala Orev, whether it was sharp spikes or whether it was actual pieces of metal that were sharp only on the top, on the edge. But this prevented birds from coming and sitting down on it, which was not a covet. And that was called the Kalya Orev, get rid of the scarecrows. Some learned that they were sharp pieces of spikes that were embedded in the metal, giving the Amah Alamah measurement as the bottom piece. So therefore, that brings us to 6 Amot Otem, Heichal with the Tikra 45, Aliyah with the Tikra 45, the Ma'akeh and the Kala Orev is 4, equals 100. Reb Yehuda Omer, the Kala Orev was not included in the measurements. And lo ya Kala Orev ole min hamida, it's that you were wrong on the measurement of the Ma'akeh. And actually, the Ma'akeh was Arba Amotaya Ma'akeh. We don't include spikes or pieces that are there for birds as part of the actual measurement of a building, any more than we would include an antenna as the top of the building. This machloket, of course, is part of the machloket as to what is the height of the large buildings in the world. Are you allowed to measure the antenna on top as part of the height of the building? This is a big tourist attraction, machlokas. Now, we spoke about the height of the Heichal. It's time now to go through step by step the width of the Heichal and the length of the Heichal. So here too, we're going to take each measurement separately, and we're going to start from the east, which is the entrance, going to the west, which is the end. And we said that the Heichal was Mea Amah. How exactly do we get Mea Amah? Well, the first one, we have the Ulam. The thickness of the wall of the Ulam itself, the Kotel HaUlam, was Chamesh. The Ulam itself is 11 Amot, going from east to west. The Kotel of the Heichal is 6 Amot. The inside of the Heichal, of course, that includes also the measurements that we had of the Pishpashin that entered into the Ta, and so on. So that's a total of 6. The actual inside of the Heichal was Arba Yimama, and that brings us to 62. Then we had the Amah of the Traxin, which is the area between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Bayit Rishon, we had an actual wall that was here, and that was called Traxin. And the Bayit Sheni, since it was too high to be able to support a wall that was that thin with the building construction that they had available to them, so instead they used a parochet. But since there was a suffix whether the area of the Amah itself, of the original traxin, was meant to be included in the measurements of the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they used two parochot, one on the outermost side, the Mizrach side, and one on the innermost side of the Maharav. And that's how we got that area between the parochot that we speak about on Yom HaKippurim of the Kohen, how he goes in. So that was in order to make up for this suffix that we had. Then we had the Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim was Esrim Amah. And that brings us to 83. Getting now, hitting the back wall of the Heichal. So Kotel HaHeichal, the thickness of the wall, the western wall of the Heichal, was Shesh Amot. And then we had the actual Ta that was behind it. And that Ta was Shesh Amot. That was the depth of the Ta. And that Shesh Amot, because remember that the Ta'im, that was the middle Ta'im that we measured by 6, those were the Ta'im that would hit the measurable wall of the Heichal, because beneath that you were at the Otem. So that the Kotel Ta itself was another Chamesh, and that brings us to 95. Now let's go north to south, and that gives us, you'd think 100, but of course it doesn't, because the Ulam sticks out on either side. So if you're now in the back, you're going to have the Tzofon Ladorim is only going to be 70, because you have the Kotel HaMesiba, You start from the wall that was the wall of the Misibah, and that ran between the wall of the Ta and the outside. So that was Chamesh Amot, going north to south. And the Misibah itself, where you would climb up the stairs, was another 3 Amot, going north-south. Then you hit the northern wall of the Ta. Okay, so the Kotel of the Ta was 5. The Ta itself, because remember, we're talking about on the level of the Echal, so we're above the Otem, which means that we are in the Emtzait measurement. And we said in the earlier in the mission, in this Perek, we said that the Ta on the level of Emtzait was 6 Amot in depth. Then you had the Kotel of the Echal, the northern wall we're talking about, would be 6 Amot at that height. Tocho, Esrimama, the inside of the Echal running from north to south, would be 20. And then we had the same backwards, the Kotel Echal again. On the southern side would be Sheish. The Ta, again, would be Sheish, because it's the middle Ta. The Kotel Ta would be Chamesh. And then there was the area in which water was pumped off or flowed off of the roof. Beit Horadat HaMayim, Shalosh Hamot. There we didn't have the Misibah, but we had basically the same idea, but it was used here for the water that would flow off of the roof of the Beit HaMikdash. Then you had the southern wall of the Beit HaRadat HaMayim, which was Chamesh Amot, and this gives you 70 Amot, and now you have to account for the additional 30, because as you were at the eastern side, remember we had gotten to the western side, moving back to the east, the Ulam would be sticking out on either side. So Ulam Adif Odef Alav would be wider than the Heichal Chamesh Yisrei Amot Min HaTzafon, the Chamesh Yisrei Amot Min HaDarom. So the 15 plus the 15 on the north and on the south gave us precisely the 30 added to the 70, which is 100. And that means that a square of 100 would contain the entire Heichal. It doesn't mean that there was actual building in the whole thing. It's exactly the same way we said before, that the Mizbeach was 32 by 32, meaning that a square of 32 by 32 would include the entire Yesod of the Mizbeach. It doesn't mean that the entire area would be filled with Mizbeach. And now, Hu Haya Nikra, that additional piece on the south side and on the north side, that was called the Beit HaChalifot. And the reason they called it the Chalifot is because of the same way that we referred to a Shechita knife as a Chalif. And Sham Gonzim et HaSakinim, the Kohanim would put the Sakinei Shechita, which are called the Chalif, and the Chalif because they're Machlif Ben Chayim Lamavet, that's the Ishtamish Betaga Chalif, according to one Lashon. And that business, just like we have today. You see people that roll matzah, insist on having their own special roller that actually meets their personal specifications, heft, and so on and so forth. So to the Kohanim, we're very makbid. So a chalif is something that is taken very special care of. It's individual, and they had storage lockers for the chalifot in that area. And the heichal, the entire heichal, therefore, created a shape which was tzar mi'achorav, so to the tzad of the west, which was its end. It was only 70 Amot. And it was Rachav Milafanav, and it was these 15 Amot on either side that were thicker, wider, and that gave it a general shape of a lion that would be sitting, which is very, very strikingly juts out in front of its body. It's much thinner body. It juts out with its shoulders and the head area in front, so that it would be look like an Ari, Vedomela Ari Shenemar. And this is why the Pasuk in Yeshayo says, Hoy Ariel, Ariel, Kiryat Chana David. Why does he refer to the Beit HaMikdash as the Ariel? Because Ma Ari Tzar Miacharav V'Rachav Milofanav, Af HaEchal Tzar Miacharav V'Rachav Milofanav. So that we have the entire relationship to Ari that we've seen a number of times, both in terms of the Eish Agabei HaMizbeach that originally was the Tzura of an Ari, the Bayit, which is the Ari, which eats like an Ari, and the question of the Chalko Shel Yehuda or Chalko Shel Binyamin, in which the symbol of Yehuda is the Ari as well. Continues now the Mishnah in Perek Hamishi. As we saw earlier, Kol HaHazara Ita Orech 187, Orocha 135. So the Hazara itself, outside of the Heichal, we've spoken before about this perfect square of the Ezrat Nashim. Now we're talking about the Hazara itself, in which the Heichal was placed. It was 187 by the same 135, obviously, of the Ezrat Nashim. So going from the Mizrach Lema'arav, which is the long side of the Hazara, we are looking at a total area of 187 v'sheva. And this goes with Makom Drisat Yisrael, Achadatzrei Amah. We had this first 11 Amot. That was the Miyuchad area for Drisat Yisrael. There wasn't an Isser for Yisrael to go beyond that, but that was the Makom that was Roy for them. If they needed to go in order to be Seimech, or there were too many people, then of course it was okay to go further in. Makom Drisat HaKohanim, then there was Makom that was Miyuchad just for walking around for Kohanim, Achadatzrei Amah. HaMizbeach 32, the entire square of the Mizbeach was 32. Bein Olam LaMizbeach was another 22, was another 22. The Hechel itself was 100. And then behind the Hechel up until the wall of the Azara was Achad Esrei Amot of the Beit HaKaporet, which brings us to the entire inside area of the Azara. Going from the north to the south, we have Me'ah Shloshim V'chamesh. So that would be the Kevesh and Mizbeach was together, Shishim V'shtayim. That's because the two Amot of the Kevesh are included in the two Amot of the Sovev and the Yesod, because the Kevesh actually had to come up to the top of the Mizbeach. So even though the Kevesh actually is an area of 32, but the last two of those Amot are included in the 32 of the Mizbeach. So therefore, we put them together as Shishim Ushtayim, 30 plus 32. Then we had the distance from the Mizbeach going to the Tabaot, and those Tabaot were the area in which we held the animal's neck so that we could do the Shechita. And that from the, we're talking now from the side of the south towards the north, because of course the Shechita was to the Tzofen of the Mizbeach, and that was another 8 Amot, brings us to 78. Makom HaTaba'ot, the actual area where the Taba'ot were, another 24 Amot, which brings us to 94. Min HaTaba'ot LeShulchanot, we had the Shayesh Shulchanot that we had before, was another 4 Amot, brings us 98. Min HaShulchanot V'lananasim, we had the 8 Nanasim, remember those were the Amudim that we could hang the Korbanot after Shechita in order to do the skinning, was another 4 Amot, and that was 102 altogether. So the area that was Miyuchad for Shulchanot, it only talks over here of the distance between the Taba'ot and the Shulchanot and the Shulchanot and the Nanasim, without mentioning the actual width of the area of the Shulchan. So the Rambam has the Makom HaShulchanot, and these were the Shulchanot that they did the Hadacha on before. Because there were 8 Shulchanot, he has 8 Amot for them. And of course, we saw earlier that we had a Machloket, particularly whether these are the same Shulchanot, the Shulchanot that were between the Nanasim. So that there's a number of different approaches on how to learn this Mishnah. Some even understand that when it says from the Shulchanot to the Nanasim, it means from the beginning of the Shulchanot until the beginning of the Nanasim was 4 Amot, which means that the Shulchanot, together with the area between them and the Nanasim, are all included in the 4 Amot. And the area between the Shulchanot and the Nanasim, because it wasn't a complete Amah, wasn't mentioned over here. Min HaNanasim LeKotel HaAzara was another 8 Amot, which brings us to 110. And this is from the Nanasim to the outside wall of the Kotel. The rest of the missing area, which we have another 25 Amot in order to get us to 135, which was the width, that area was between the edge of the Kevesh on the Dorim side, and that was between that and the Kotel of the Tzad Hadromi. So between that area was the remaining 25 Amot, and the Makom HaNanasim, which we didn't list, the actual area, which was 12.5 Amot, together, 12.5 and another 12.5 gives us the 25 that's missing. Rashi's pshat is that the Makom HaShulchanot were considered to be 4 Amot. So in other words, the 25 Amah include also the 4 Amot of the Makom HaShulchanot, and that's why we didn't mention it before. So it was really only 10 v'chetzi, not 12 v'chetzi, between the Kevesh and the Drami side. And then we had included the Makom HaNanasim, and therefore we had another 10 v'chetzi. So that we're including the Makom that we didn't bother mentioning in the Motar. Continues the next Mishnah. Sheish l'shekot ayu ba'azara, just like we did in the Ezrat Nashim, where we listed each one of the Leshakot that was on the four sides of the Ezrat Nashim, and we explained what they were used for. Here too, the Mishnah's Mefaret, each one of the Leshakot in the Azara, Shalosh Betzafon v'Shalosh Bedarom. What are they? Shebetzafon, the names of the Leshakot on the northern side. Now, there's a little bit of a problem over here, because the Pashta says, if you take a look at your map, that we have a mistake of the gears of the Mishnah. And indeed, the way that the Rambam writes it, and the way that the Gemara takes for granted when it discusses all of this in Yuma, is that it really says Bidarum. And that was, if you look on your little map of the Azara, you see the Lishkat HaMelech, the Lishkat HaParva, and the Lishkat HaMedichim. Now these were three Lishakot, one next to the other, and this was at the closest side to the entry, towards the south. So this was the Mizrach Doron, and it was placed within the Ezrat Yisrael. Of course, this is assuming that we're talking about Doron. So we start with the Lishkat HaMelach, and then we had the Lishkat HaParva next to it, and then further west, and it was leaving the area where you walked in, going towards the back, which is the way that we're measuring everything along the southern wall, was the Lishkat HaMadichim. What was the point of this? Lishkat HaMelach Shama Yunotim Melach LeKorban. This is where they prepared the melach, because after all, it says in the Torah, korbanecha takriv melach. So you had to bring melach as part of the actual korban, and this was part of the haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given to the Mayim HaTachtonim when they were so upset that they had the havdola between the Mayim HaTachtonim and the Mayim Elyonim, that there was always going to be a melach brit that reminded HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mala along with the korbanot, the lower waters that included all of the salts that were necessary for life, and that too would be brought together with life that emerged from them. The Lishkat HaParva was used, as the word parva means skins, or we use it today for furs. That was the area, Shesham Hayum Olchim Orot Kodashim. That was where the skins that were given to the Kohanim were salted in order to preserve them. It was the beginning of the tanning process. The Al-Gaga, now above the Lishkat HaParva, there was a mikvah, and that was the Beit HaTfilah, the Kohen Gadol, B'Yom HaKippurim. Those were the five tefillot that the Kohen Gadol was tevil, and he used to, between each one of his changes of begadim, on Avedis Yom HaKippurim, from the big days of to the big day lovan, or vice versa, he required a tefillah. All of those tefillahs were bekodesh, except for the original tefillah when he came in, which was the mikvah that was on top of the Shahar Mayim, which was Bechol. But over here, the Beit HaTfilah, which was Bekodesh, of the Chomish Tfilahs, was on top of the Lishkat HaParva. And then there was the Lishkat HaMadichin. That was for the innards of the Kirvei HaKodshim, which was the Keres. And the Keres was really filled with horrible smelling, partially digested food. So over there, they didn't want to do it on the Shulchanot, where they were Madiach, the rest of the Behemah. And so they would bring it inside this Lishka, so as not to expose it. And then it was washed off there. U'misham misiba ola legag Beit HaParva. The way to get up to the top of the Beit HaParva that we discussed a moment ago, where the Beit HaTfilah was through the staircase that went up to the Gag of the Beit HaParva in the Lishkat HaMadichim. Shebedarom, and now the Lishakot, and according to the gears that we've been following here, and according to the map that we've been following, which should really show Shebetzafon, and that's clear in Yuma. So there we had an equivalent, Lishkata Eitz, Lishkata Gola, and Lishkata Gazit. Lishkata Eitz, again, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who we saw before, was the Tana of the entire Masechet Midot. He says, therefore, Shechachti Ma'ita Mishameshet. And just as we had before, Abba Shaul came along to say that he did remember. And Abba Shaul, that was Lishkat Kohen Gadol. That's the Lishkat HaEtz. And that is what was called Lishkat Farhadrin in later years, which was the reason that we called it Lishkat Farhadrin, the Gemara says, was because Farhadrin was a derogatory term for bureaucrats that were switched every year, you know, to get your position in, so it were political positions. And because Lishka of the Kohen Gadol, unfortunately, in that time, was mostly tzedukim, who had more influence with the government, were able to buy their way in to the Kohen Gadol, even though they only lasted for the year. But they called it Lishkat Farhedrin, Lashon Gemara, Mipnei Shemachlifen, Donkey Farhedrin Ha'elu, that every year you need another Kohen Gadol, because you wouldn't survive the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And that Lishkata Kohen Gadol was the one that was Achorei Shtehem. So it was built so that the Lishkata Golan, Lishkata Gazit, were in front, and then behind them was the Lishka of the Kohen Gadol, the Lishkat Farhedrin. And you could take a look at letters Chav Zayin, Chav Chet, and Chav Tet in the map that we have. The Gag Shloshtan Shava, the upper area above these three Lishakot, was one Gag, and you couldn't see them from the outside above. You couldn't see that there were three Lishakot. The Lishkat HaGola, we haven't explained what that was. The Lishkat HaGola, Shamaya Bor Kabua, there was a cistern there that was always filled with water. V'Hagalgal Natun Halav, and there was an affair attached to a bucket that was attached to a pulley. And over there, you could bring out water from the cistern where Mishamas became Mayim L'Chol HaZara, water that would be used for drinking, water that would be used for cooking. And the Ole HaGola created this bor in order to be able to use early on, and therefore they called it Lishkat HaGola in memory of that. Others learn that Gola does not mean the Gola, those were Olam, and HaGola, it's a reference of Gola, the thing that rolls, the thing that turns, in which case it would be the mechanism, or the Gilgul, the Galgal, the wheel-like affair, the pulley-like affair, they called it Gola. All right. There's a number of different girsaot here, according to which we'd have to change it, because there's a girsa that says Shamaya Bor Vigula V'Hagagal Natun Alav. So in other words, that means that there was a large fillable container that they used to fill up every day the gula from the water that was in the bor through the galgal. And so probably say as a that's a lashon of gula, Vigula or Rosha. So it's like a round container. The Lishkata, that would mean that we'd be using the Lishkata Gola really as a play on words. So from the Gola, they built the Galgal that would fill the Gula. Lishkata Gazit, and that was the reason it was called Lishkata Gazit, is because they used Avnei Gazit. Shama Haita Sanhedrin Gedola Shi Yisrael Yoshevet. And that's the famous Sanhedrin that was Yoshe B'chatzi Goren HaGola, which you'll see in the map, with the area for the Yeshivat HaTalmidim in front of the Sanhedrin. And even though that was not made of Kohanim, they were the ones that Klal Yisrael used to define which Kohanim would be Zoicha to do the Aveda, and they were done at Kohanim. Anything that had to do with the Kohanim, whether it was a Suffolk, if it was kosher, or an Indian, or whether it was a Balmum, or who had a din of a Shoer, and who had a din of a Shoer between a Leviim, all of those things were in the hands of that particular Beit Din, and that was their usual work. And of course, Lishkat HaGazit was the makom, as the Lashon of the Rambam, that Misham Horayotzi Elcho Yisrael, whenever there was a suffix in Din. But the standard workings of that Bezdin was that a Kohen Shenimtza Bo Psul, when he came in for the first time to see whether he was Ra'ui, and they would have to paskin, whether he was considered to be a Kohen Kasher or a Kohen Pasul for whatever reason. There could be many things that he had done, or a mumim on his body, or problems with his yichus. So a kohen shenimtza bo psul would leave by being lovei shechorim, who would put on begadim, black begadim, like people wear today to show that they're an avelut for some reason. So it'd be lovei shechorim, mimitatev shechorim, v'yotzeva aleichlo, and would leave from in front of them as if he was an avelut, being found not suitable for avedas hamakom. A Kohen that the Sanhedrin was Machshir would actually, some learn that this means Lovish Levanim, Umitativ Levanim, is a reference to Big Day Kuhuna, Big Day Lava. In the Besame Zor, which is the sign of being a Farsan, who was found to be kosher. And they would make a Yom Tov, a Yosin, Shalonim Tzapsul, Bizarro Shal Aaron HaKohen. And so people would celebrate when a new Kohen would come and was found to be kosher, and the Sanhedrin would be Sameach, and everybody that was involved in the Psak would welcome him. V'kacha yomrim, Baruch HaMokom, Baruch Hu, Shalonim Tzapsul Bizarro Shel Aaron. And we'll leave the remainder for our Siyum, Ezrat Hashem.